I want to talk tonight, I want to speak to you by the help of the Lord on the two ways. When I began to think about all of the different ways that man chooses or tries to choose to go to heaven, I realized that there wasn't 150 ways. There may be thousands of different churches out there, and every one of them a different way. But in reality, there is only two ways. There is a right way, and there is a wrong way. There's not any place in the middle. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which you would, some might feel fortunate in that, because if we thought that there was some way in the middle, a third way, then you and I might be in confusion tonight. We might be wondering, well, have we got the right way? But when we find and we see that there is only two ways, in the Old Testament it tells us, and I've quoted this here many times, this is a scripture that I keep before me all the time. He said, I set before you life and death. It's just two ways. You can't be unconscious, see? We can't be half alive and half dead. We're either dead or we're alive. And he said, I set before you this day life and death. And he says, I want you to choose life. I keep that before me all the time. You and I, every day, we get up in the morning, we face a new day. We face new decisions, new choices. We've never faced them before. Oh, they may be similar. But that choice that I made yesterday isn't going to be sufficient for today. I'm going to have to make that same choice. I'm going to have to choose life today. And as I was, and the Lord began to open some of these things to my understanding, I realized there were a lot of different places in the scripture that were in contrast to one another. It would give me one side of the coin, you might say, and then here I've got something on the other side of the coin. You and I, we have these kind of choices in our attitudes, in our characteristics, in the way that we respond to people, see. We can choose to respond kindly, or I can choose to let my flesh have its way, and I can come out with some real sharp cutting word and go away and then be sorry, see. Got a choice there. There's two ways of reacting. Well, you might say, well, when I face some of those things, I just keep my mouth shut, but I've got all these thoughts. Well, in reality, you've chosen that way of responding. Inside, you've allowed self to rise up and have its little right of way, maybe not through the mouth, but through your feelings. I don't know why I said all that. I didn't have that to say, but those are all part of the two different ways. I have two scriptures that are contrast scriptures. I'd like for, maybe I would like for you to be a part of the message tonight. I'd like for someone to read Proverbs 14 and 12. And then I would like for someone to read John 14 and 16. And if you have that scripture in Proverbs, just 14 and 12.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but how does it end? It ends in death. It ends in destruction. There is a way that you and I, we come to every day. Maybe we don't literally die. We're not talking about a literal death here. But we make some choices sometimes, and we conduct ourselves in such a way, and I just felt like being ugly. I just felt like it. It just seemed right for the moment, see? How did you feel afterwards? That's the thing that we have to ask ourselves. How am I going to feel after I've taken my own way? There is a way that seems right. That's going to be one of the ways we're going to talk about tonight. A seem right way. Let's all keep in our mind that this seem right way has an end to it, and it's death. It's destruction. It has nothing good that comes from a way that just seems right. Now let's read the other scripture. John 14, I think, and 6. Someone have that? Just go ahead and read it.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way. What does that mean? We've read a scripture that says there is a seem right way. There is a way that seems right, but the end of it is death. And now Jesus turns around here and he says, I am the way. In order for me to know this way, I'm going to have to know Jesus. I'm going to have to get acquainted with his characteristics. How did he operate? What did he do when he walked upon the earth? He said, I am the truth. I am life. All right, we have here death and life. The end of one is death. The end of the other is life. Eternal life, thank the Lord. If we follow this right way, if we follow Jesus as being the way, the truth, we'll have life, thank the Lord. And it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the two ways that we're going to speak on tonight are in contrast, one against the other. One is just a seem right way. And we have many people in this world that are going the seem right way. And you and I could fall under the seem right way. It's very easy to fall under the seem right way. And the way that you get there is just by your mind letting it take its course. And you begin to reason things out. And you begin to justify yourself in whatever choices that you've made. And you begin to make yourself feel real good. I have been, in my own experience, there have been many times that the Lord would begin to work with me in a certain area of my life. I'm about to tell on myself again. Well, I told on myself one time here, and it comes to my mind again, and it's been on my mind lately since my little granddaughter is sick. But I remember when this granddaughter's mother, when Sarah was a little girl, and she had a swelling in her face, and Lauren Vance wasn't saved, and we didn't know what was wrong with her. We took her to the dentist, couldn't find anything wrong, and he sent her to a specialist for eye, ears, and nose, and she was very humiliated that they would look up her nose. But they subscribed, prescribed, not subscribed, an antibiotic which we gave to her. And I've told this before, but this is one of those ways that we can become deceived about ourselves. We can come to this place that I'm just talking myself into feeling good about something. I felt good that my husband wasn't saved so that I could give this child this medicine. And I remember when I went to service on a Wednesday night and the Lord convicted me of that, I could have ridden over that. Nobody knew how I felt way down inside. I could have said, "This is all right. My husband isn't saved. He has a right to do what he wants to do." And I could have never been discovered. But do you think that I would have prospered? When the Spirit of the Lord came to me there on that service, I still remember it as distinctly as the night that it happened. And he began to work with me, not about the medicine. It was about my feelings, see? He said, "If you will get up and confess this thing," he said, "and have her anointed, I will heal her." I'll tell you, there's some times in my life, and especially being in the ministry, I would far rather get up and look like a fool, confess whatever it is, and still have the blessing of the Lord there, than to carry that thing and ride over it. What does the Scripture say? "He that covereth his sin will not prosper." We've all got to come to this place. We cannot cover anything. We may hide it from everybody else. We cannot hide it from Jesus. We cannot hide it from that one that is the way. The one that is the truth. The one that is the life. We can't hide it. I did as the Lord showed me that night. I got up before the congregation and I told them exactly as I have said to you. And I said, "The Lord said if she would be anointed, he would heal her." And that's exactly what happened. Well, here then comes a little granddaughter. And you know, those same feelings, the enemy would like to bring those same feelings back. Oh, I got down before the Lord. I confessed feelings before the Lord. That I might still be clear before the Lord. That I might be able to stand before you tonight. I couldn't stand before you without it. Lord, help us. There is a seem right way. That we can reason things in, we can make all the excuses that we want to make, and we can go on, and we'll not prosper. If we take the Lord's way, was Jesus ever one that hid things in his life? Did he cover things in his life? No, because he was without sin. But the very principle of his life was one that be open. Be above board. Don't hide things from your brother or your sister. Did you know that the Lord cannot work with dishonesty? And the enemy cannot work with honesty? When we're honest with our soul, did you know the enemy has to flee? The seem right way will go with him. And the ways of death will go with him. But if we follow the true way, if we follow this way, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he will give us life. Oh, we'll be blessed in our life. We will prosper in our life. It will show in our testimony. We'll be able to come on Wednesday night and feed the rest of the congregation with our testimony. Have you ever come on Wednesday night and needed to be fed by your brother or your sister? Yes. We need each other. We need each other, brethren. And we need each other to be victorious in our secret life. Because on prayer meeting night, it's going to come out. It's going to feed me. It's going to encourage me. And it's going to encourage you as you leave this place. Let's not take the seem right way. Let's take the one true way. Let's be honest with our own soul. Let's not try to cover anything in our life. Well, we have some other contrasting scriptures we'd like to by the help of the Lord, give to you tonight. The seem right way and the one true way. We started out and we said there's always a right way and there's a wrong way. And you know, in doing certain things, if you had a building that you needed to put together, these little portable buildings, there's only a right way to put one of those things together. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to do that, but we've tried that. Oh, it was a mess. I hate to tell you where we started putting the thing together, in our garage. And that's not the right way. That was the wrong way. By the time we got it together, we had parts all over the place and we hadn't followed the instructions and we just had quite a job. Well, I want to tell you tonight, there is a right way for everything that we do, that the Lord gives us to do. In His Word, there is a right way, and He gives us examples in here that is the wrong way. And He tries to give us the warnings. I think about the Scripture that says that the Word of the Lord, it's inspired, but it's profitable for a doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Oh, but I don't like to be reproved. Oh, let us not turn anything down that the Lord gives us, because it will be life. It will add to our life. It says it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for instruction. And it goes on and tells all those things. It says, so that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The true way is going to thoroughly furnish you unto every good work. But the seem right way is only going to bring on confusion. Oh, you'll be confused. Maybe you'll come to service and the word of the Lord will go forth. And you've convinced yourself that this thing I've allowed in my life is okay. And then the minister may get up and cry out against that very thing right there, and then you'll be in confusion. That's the seem right way. Well, I want you to turn to Luke, the 6th chapter. There's a contrast here. There's a right way to do something, and there's a wrong way to do something. Starting at the 46th verse, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" See, one of these is a seem right way, and the other one is the true way. If we do what He says, we've taken the right way. If we just simply want to make ourselves feel good and comfortable, we'll go around saying, "Lord, Lord." Well, I've prayed today, see? But it didn't do me any good. I did it just because I thought, well, I have to do it. I feel an obligation to get up and pray. So I get down and I say, "Lord, Lord." But Jesus turns around here and He says, "Why do you not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" We have the two contrasts in that scripture right there. And then it goes on and He says, "Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them," this is the right way, "hearing and doing, will have life. I've set before you this day death and life. And I'm saying unto you tonight, choose life." And Jesus is saying here, if you hear my sayings and you do them, I will show you whom this is like, whom He is like. He is like a man which built a house, and he digged deep, and he laid the foundation on a rock. You see, there's a right way to build a house, isn't there? And there's a wrong way to build a house. This man chose the right way because he listened and he obeyed. He followed. He did what the words of the Lord were. This is the right way. This isn't the seem right way. He digged deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. And then when the floods came and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it couldn't be shaken. This was the right way to build a house. It was built on a rock. Now, who is that rock? I'd like someone to turn to Deuteronomy 32 and 4 and give us that scripture. He was not shaken because he was found on the rock. You and I tonight, we need to build our house right. We need to build our experience right. We need to follow the right way. There is two ways tonight. There is a seem right way. He is the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And if we take his way, when the floods come and the streams beat vehemently upon our house, we will not be shaken. Thank the Lord. Does someone have Deuteronomy 32 and 4?
He is the rock.
His work is perfect. Thank the Lord.
All of his ways are
judgment.
A God of truth. And without iniquity. Just and right.
Now this is the rock that he's saying. I want you to build on this rock. There's no sin here. There's nothing here that's going to crumble and decay. Thank the Lord. The man that heard his words and did it was like this man that built his house on the rock. This is the sure foundation. This is the right way. Now let's read about the man that built his house the wrong way. Verse 49 says, "But he that heareth and does not do it." Well, I heard it, but I didn't like it. I just didn't want to go that way. I just didn't want to choose those things. This is what that man is like. He is without a foundation. He is without this rock that has nothing in it that will crumble, that will be able to stand the floods, the tempests, the winds, the trials, the tests. That's the one that will be able to stand if it's built on the rock. Lord, help us. You know, a flood is a very disastrous act of nature. Not long ago, you heard in the paper, or read in the paper, rather, of the two little children down in the southern part of Oklahoma that was swept away in a car. I read that, and of course, it touched my heart. But the part that really touched me was that they had stayed on that side and observed other small cars going across that washway, and the small cars made it. And here came a great big heavy car, and they said, "Well, if they can make it, I can make it." And they got out in the middle, and that flood simply washed that car away, and they said when they found that car, it was just twisted metal. That's what floods can do. It has a powerful effect on material things. Well, I want to tell you tonight, the flood can have a powerful effect on your soul and my soul. It can destroy us. It can tear us up. It can cause us to lose our footing if we're not founded on the rock. The way that we can be found on the rock tonight is to hear his words and do it. It's a sure thing. If he says, "Confess your sins," he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Do it. "Well, I'm afraid that they wouldn't love me anymore." I want to tell you, that's their problem. Do it. Hear his words and do it. Build on the right way. This is the right way. This is not the seem right way. This man that decided to not listen and not do it, and he found that he had no foundation, he built his house on the sand, on the earth. We've all heard the story of the three little pigs. How that the one decided, "Well, I just really don't want to put a lot of effort in this, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to buy me some straw. And it won't take me very long to put up a little dwelling." And then we know how the big bad wolf came, and it didn't take a whole lot to blow his house down. And the other little pig, he bought sticks. And he thought he could make him a house that was, he'll get by. Listen, if we're just living only to get by, we're in trouble before we start. We're going to have to see that this thing is really important, that my soul is going to spend eternity in either a devil's hell or in heaven, and I'm going to have to face the judgment for my own self, and I don't want to fall short. I want to go all the way. I want to build my house upon a rock, thank the Lord. But if I just want to get by, I just want to feel good. Listen, that's the same right way. If my feelings are involved in this thing, and I just want to feel good that I came out to the service, I haven't missed. Well, I really haven't put anything into it, but I was there. Lord, help us. We can fall under these kind of things. We can get under these kind of attitudes and just sort of feel good. But listen, it's far more than feelings. It's having the approval of the Lord in my life and knowing that He's looking down. He's seeing every secret chamber of my life. I like that song. I don't know the song, but maybe you've heard it. Asking and inviting the Lord to go into every room of my life. I'm giving you the key, Lord, to go into this room that I've had locked away. You know, for you and me to have areas of our life that we don't allow the Lord to put His finger on, we can't prosper then. We're like that man that has built the house just to get by. He didn't want to dig deep. You know, it takes a lot to dig deep. Takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of sweat, takes a lot of toil, takes a lot of muscle, and you get tired. And I'm speaking literally, but spiritually as well. It is not easy to build in the right way, to build until you hit the rock. If we build upon the earth, which is this Scripture is what it says, we're building on ourselves. I just want to feel good. You won't feel good when you stand before the judgment bar of God if you're only feeling good here. Well, we know the rest of the story of the three little pigs. The third little pig, he put forth great effort. He invested in some really solid material. And he had a foundation on his house, I do believe, because he laid the rock. And when it came time for the wolf to come, he wasn't able to blow it down. And the other two little pigs, they wanted to be in there. Well, in walking with the Lord, we can only build our own house. We may pray for one another. We may be an example to one another. We may long and love one another, but we can't stand for each other in our house. It's only your house. He that heareth and doeth not is like that man, a man that without a foundation, he built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. That's serious, isn't it? I would like for us to turn to another scripture to go along with this. 1 Corinthians 3. You ask the Lord to bless us to say, we haven't premeditated all of this. The Lord has simply given us scriptures, and we have not premeditated to say any of this. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting about the 10th verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. We're still talking about the true way and the seem right way. The one that will only make me feel good and the one that will end in life. A wise master builder. Didn't Jesus say in one place that the one that built on the rock, he was a wise man? He was wise in his choices. He chose life. Thank the Lord. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Did you know that you only have your own house to build tonight, yet there are others that are coming after you and observing your house? They're observing the choices that you've made, the victory that you have in your life, the way that you are an example before others. There's another generation coming on and they're looking. How have I carried out my life before the people, before the Lord? Do I have my house built on a solid foundation, or have I only wanted to feel good? Somebody else is coming to look at your foundation and see how you built it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. We've already said that Jesus is the rock. That's the only one that's going to be a sure foundation. But you and I are examples to those that are looking on. And there are people, our children, our relatives, people that come in that door back there that may never come again if they don't see something the first time they come. Oh Lord, help us to be an example before them the first time they come. Amen. Let every man take heed how he buildeth. Every man and woman, every person that has started out for the Lord tonight, you're building something. This says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, all of those sound good, don't they? And then it says wood, hay, stubble, all of these can be consumed by fire. They can burn up. All of these cannot stand the judgment. That's all things of earth. Every one of those things are of earth. The man that heard the word and did not do it and built his house on earth, and the storms came, the house fell. And this one says, if we don't take heed how we build, and that we build upon the foundation gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to have to stand the test of fire. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. Oh, Lord, help us. As I approach an older age, as I live day by day, and as I come to the time that I know that I'm facing old age, and I want to ask you to not think that I'm reflecting on anyone, but I've had the opportunity to observe, including my parents and Lauren's parents, I've observed them growing old. And those things back in their life that they were unable to gain victory over, it became mountains in their old age. If they happened to have been one that was sharp in their tongue, and then when they got old, they were even worse. If they weren't able to get over their temper when they were young, and when they got old, it was worse. I have observed this. I have observed that they can become so set in their ways that things have to be done exactly this way and no other way. And if it's done some other way, they sometimes throw. I've observed these things. It's because they were building on their flesh. Way back when the Lord was beginning to try to deal with them and work with them and trying to get them to see, you need to give this up while you're young enough to do it. I don't want to present something that sounds hopeless to you, but I believe that if you are really sincere and you desire to be rid of something in your life, no matter what your age, I believe that the power of God is there, that you can be rid of it. But these things in our life is going to be tried by fire. Not a literal fire, but a hard place. Those places that are going to be a real trial to me. That one that may be my roommate, or my relative, or my whoever, my husband, my wife. They could become a real trial to me. The enemy would like for husbands and wives to be trials to one another. He would. I'll tell a little bit about us. After the Guthrie meeting, we had had such a great victory in the Guthrie meeting with different individuals with whom we had labored, some needing deliverance from the very powers of spirit. That we had worked with, and it was a wonderful thing to experience ourselves and see the deliverances. And as we went home, and the first day I was alone, I felt that the Lord inspired me with this thought that the devil is going to come against you and your husband and Sister Velda, for those were the three that we had worked with in praying. I called my husband at work and I told him what the Lord had spoken to me. I said, you need to be alert because I feel that the enemy is going to come against you in some way. I feel he's going to come against me. And Sister Velda, I called her and told her the same thing. We never can predict how the enemy is going to come against us. And most of the time it is in a way that we're least expecting. But one of the ways the enemy tried to come against my husband and me was just to be at odds a little bit with just little things and trying things. It wasn't anything major, but we don't live like that. And I was not happy with it. And I said to him, I hope he doesn't mind me telling on this. I said, I cannot go to Monarch like this. I said, I want all of this cleared up, or I won't go to Monarch and be a hypocrite. Might have to pray for somebody that's having marriage problems. I want victory there. You see, this is the things that the enemy tries to do. He tries to work his way in and tries to get the husband and the wife at odds with one, just with irritating things. Listen, the Lord has something better for marriages than that. I believe it. I know it. Or he will try to get us at odds with one another, just looking half cross-eyed at each other, so to speak. I didn't like the way you said that. I didn't like what you said. And the enemy take that and begin to make a mountain out of it. And then you begin to think that they have something against you. Have you ever been there? Yes, this is how the enemy works. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. We're all going to be in the hot places sometime. It's how we've been building before we get in the hot place. If we've been allowing ourselves just to feel good, back there with the seem right way, I just want to barely get by, then when we get into these places, we'll be able to cover that too. Well, I can go to Monarch. I don't care if my husband and I are having trouble. I'll still pray with them if they're having trouble. Listen, the Lord can't bless. He cannot answer those kind of prayers. He can only answer the prayers of those whose lives are clean and holy before Him. And you and I must keep honest. Keep open. Don't let these things build up until you have a mountain between you. Lord, help us. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. What do you think that reward will be? Well, at the end of one's life, it'll be eternal life. But right here, it'll be a great blessing. Oh, there is nothing, no joy, no pleasure in this life compared to the blessing of the Lord. To be in His favor, there is nothing to compare to that. The Scripture tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. To taste of that blessing, that you talk about good feelings. Now, this is the good feeling. This isn't the feeling where I've covered something in my life and just tried to make myself feel good. This goes far beyond that. This is the kind of feeling that the Lord comes down, as we spoke this morning, right in the midst of the trial and the hard place. And He gives you that scripture and He gives you that song. And that is worth more than all of the gold and silver of this world. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't know what I would have done without the Lord this last year. Oh, I wouldn't be here tonight. But the Lord did that for me. And even though the trial was still there and nothing had changed, I was still in the heat of the battle. The feeling of the blessing of the Lord and His approval was there. I remember when I was really in the middle of this, one morning, Sister Jean and Sister Mary Lawson came to my house on their way to Guthrie. And we had a little meeting right there. Sister Mary did not know anything about my problem, as far as I know. And you know, the Lord just gave her exactly what to say. And I'll tell you, I was fed. I hadn't been able to go to the Guthrie meeting during the assembly meeting, not until the latter part of it. So I needed a little meeting, and the Lord sent it. Thank the Lord. Oh, there'll be a reward. If your work abides, you'll receive a reward. Look for those rewards in this life. The blessing of the Lord is the greatest reward that you can have. Then it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us that we will not suffer the loss of our soul above all things. Our soul is the most important thing that we have in our possession. And you do own your soul. The Lord needs to really help us, doesn't He? We have one other contrast we would like to. If you will turn to Luke, the 18th chapter. We may shift gears here just a little bit, but we feel the Lord wants us to continue on with this part. 18 and verse 10, maybe starting. This is a familiar parable. Verse 9 says, He spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's a seem right way. They've somehow come to the place that they think they've lifted themselves up to the point and looked at everybody else's faults and at the same time made themselves feel good. It says here, Jesus says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. And it says that the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. Didn't say he prayed to God. He was so enveloped in himself. He really didn't. He was just wanting to feel good that he had done this. See, that's just the seem right way. But he said, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are. See how he was? The enemy had so successfully gotten his eyes on the faults of others and their shortcomings that he could not see himself. I'm not like these other people. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican over here. See how it was? Don't you know, even though nobody came up to him, no doubt, and nobody reproved him for the way that he prayed, he probably felt real good about himself. He felt justified. But was he justified? No, he wasn't. He even went on and he said, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. He really thought he was all right. And now we have the contrast to this one. But here the poor little publican, he was standing afar off and he wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one of these do you think went down to his house justified? It wasn't the one that lifted himself up. This is the contrasting scriptures tonight. This is the seem right way. The one that you can only feel good with and nothing else. But yet here's the one that when he went down to his house, he was justified. He had the blessing of the Lord. He had the reward. Thank the Lord. I want you to turn to Proverbs, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, and someone can read that. And then I will turn to Isaiah 66. I'd like for someone to read the first one first. Proverbs 12:15, yes.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
We have a contrast here, don't we? The one, he's just right in his own eyes. But the one that hearkeneth unto counsel is what?
Is wise.
Wise. We've already mentioned the wise man that built his house on the rock. That's the one that stood. Thank the Lord. Isaiah 66, if you will turn there, we want to read the first and second verse. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Oh, I love this scripture. I can claim it for my own, and you can too tonight. To this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and the one that trembleth at his word, at my word. Let's go back now to the publican and the sinner. The publican and the Pharisee, rather. Well, he was a sinner. The Pharisee, he was this one over here that all of his ways was right in his own eyes. And then we have the poor publican that wouldn't lift up his eyes, but smote upon his breast and said, have mercy on me. And then we have the scripture here that I will look even to him that has a contrite heart or a contrite spirit, who's poor and who trembles at my word. Do you see the contrast here of the one true way? Do you see the contrast here of the seem right way? One just simply felt good, but one became justified and received the reward. I believe this is all that the Lord wants me to give tonight. We had a lot more, but I feel like that the Lord would like for us to stop with this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is death. And then Jesus comes along and he says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And if we take Jesus' way and we hear his words and we do them and we build upon that rock, oh, we'll be so glad. 1 second after you enter eternity, there won't be seconds there, but as soon as your spirit leaves your body and you stand before God, you'll be so glad you took the right way. You'll be so glad you took this way like the publican. Not lifting yourself up just to feel good, but you lifted yourself up in a contrite way. And you trembled at his word. You respected God's word. You took his word. It meant something to you. I believe that the Lord wants these scriptures to be all that we give. And we trust that it has been a blessing to you tonight. And we started out and we said there are two ways. There is a right way and a wrong way. And we also said that he spoke to us out of his word in the Old Testament. And he said, I set before you something to choose. And he said, I hope that you will choose life. And that's what I'm going to say to you tonight. I hope that in all of your life, every day of your life, as you get up and meet a new day, that you will choose life. You pray for us that we will do the same. Amen.